live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect, a time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
Hello, everybody. It's another Tuesday, and we're down here on the Third Coast. If you don't know where that is, it's the Gulf Coast. Little change of scenery sometimes. In any event, we've had a cold winter and a little rainy, and hopefully it doesn't affect the show today. In any event, genealogy is kind of an exciting field to be in these days. A lot of new technical advances going on in every shape, form, and matter. For those who joined us last week, we did a show on the new NBC series, Who Do You Think You Are? And hopefully everybody will tune in next this coming Friday. I believe it's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, for a little bit about Emmett Smith and his roots to slavery. In any event, seeing genealogy take the forefront in I guess network television is kind of exciting, and also exciting is some of the technical advances that are being brought to the forefront in DNA testing. And once again, and I don't think we need to do too much of an elaborate introduction, because Bennett Greenspan's been with us several times over the past year as our guest. And the only thing I can say is that Bennett and I go back some 30 years when we were both in a different field, believe it or not, and we did business back then. And about 10 years ago, we sat down and had lunch at one of my favorite Indian restaurants here in Houston, and we talked about the launch of his new company at that time, Family Tree DNA, and that was very exciting. And about a month ago, Bennett and I had a repeat performance, didn't we, Bennett? At my favorite Indian restaurant. And we had a chance to discuss some of what I think is probably some of the most exciting advances in DNA testing for genealogical purposes to hit the forefront. And we want to talk a little bit about what this is. And we also want to discuss a little bit about, its availability, I guess. So, Bennett, welcome, and I understand I'm cutting in and out, and hopefully you can hear me. I'm sitting in one place, so hopefully it's not the weather.
Susan, I can hear you just fine.
Great.
And welcome, listeners.
Well, let's talk about this exciting new testing that you've developed, and recognizing that it's available currently in limited availability, I guess is what I wanted to say. Let's talk about what this is all about and really what it means to the genealogical field.
Well, Susan, let's do a quick review. For the past 10 years, we've offered Y-DNA testing, which looked at a man's father's 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 direct male line. We could also look at a man or a woman's mitochondria, which they receive from their mother's 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 direct female line. And that's worked wonderfully for genealogy and anthropology on the male line, and it's worked out pretty well on the female line, especially when we introduced offering the full mitochondria genome as a test about 5 years ago. And that's a test that's really taken off in the last year. But what that did is that left out all the relatives on your tree that were in between your dad's 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 lineage and your mom's 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 lineage. And so there was no good way for you to test your father's mother's line or your mother's father's line if they had passed away and if they didn't have any brothers or sisters who had children. So most of your relatives were, in effect, frozen out of the process. And for the last number of years, many people have said, wouldn't it be great if we could find a way to test your mother's father's line or even your mother's mother's father's mother's lineage when there's no child available from that offspring or from that great-great-grandparental set of people to be able to test. And so what we've done is we have we've bought some new equipment in the lab that allow us to look at large, in effect, blocks of your genome, looking at all 22 chromosomes that are called the recombinant chromosomes. That would be chromosome number 1 to number 22. And we've built a product that we call the Family Tree Family Finder, which allows you to look for relationships such as grandparent, grandchild, half-siblings, first cousins, second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, and even fifth cousins. And so what that means is that, in effect, sex doesn't matter anymore, whereas it used to be a single, very important determinant. Now we've broken through that barrier by offering the Family Finder test, which we are selling now under, in effect, a limited phased one rollout to our existing customers, Susan, primarily because, you know, we wanted to work with people who have been working with us for years, number one, and number two, we want to make sure that we have enough manufacturing capacity for what we expect is going to be a very serious launch in the next few weeks.
You know, this is very exciting because, you know, there's just so many people that, for example, do not have any male descendants in their families. And for those people, it just seems like really a very natural situation to be able to test out. Now, my question, actually, is that once you test, you will have a separate database, I take it, for all the tests that are being completed within the new Family Finder, or is there a way that they will be able to link with the Y-DNA tests, or how is that going to work?
No, Susan, this is going to be the creation of an entirely new database. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be comparing people who opt into this new database and purchase this new test. We'll be building a database that will be looking at approximately 550,000 data points across the 22 chromosomes and then making these comparisons. So it's a brand new effort on our behalf. We know it's going to entail a lot of work, but we think that the rewards will be very, very obvious within just a few weeks when people start to get their results back. I mean, I've found someone already in our system who is shown to be a fifth cousin, and by doing a little detective work, you know, that genealogical elbow grease, so to speak, I've been able to determine that this match is on my mother's side of the family. And while in the past there was no reason for me to test my mom because I had her female DNA checked when I tested myself, now there is a reason for me to test my mother, because if in fact this new fifth cousin that I have found within the system is on my mother's side, she should show more of or a tighter genetic match to my mom than this person does to me, because my mom is back one generation, which means that while in the past we said it really didn't matter very much whether you test or your dad tests or whether you test or your mother tests, now it matters a lot, because by testing the oldest person in your family, you gain, you know, a generation. And if someone has a grandparent who's willing to test, then you gain two generations from the individual. And so given that this product is probably good for taking you back, let's say, 175 years from the time of the birth of the individual that you're testing, presuming that a generation is about 25 years, Susan, what that means is that we can probably show relationships with people going back to the beginning of the 1800s or back perhaps to the time of the Revolutionary War.
Wow. Wow. That, you know, that really is pretty amazing. And I would suspect for people who are adopted, this, or, you know, people who don't have, you know, direct knowledge of their past lineage, that this kind of testing is going to open up all new worlds to individuals.
Well, actually, Susan, we have a project at Family Tree DNA that's called Adopted. And we have hundreds and hundreds of people in that project who are adoptees or are the, let's say, the son of a man who was adopted. And, of course, those folks want to find their biological family because the court records have inconveniently sealed those records, which makes the journey much more challenging for an adoptee. And what the Family Finder is going to do is it's going to allow us to show connections between that adopted person and first, second, third, fourth, and even fifth cousins, which will give them a tremendous amount of information as they begin to test themselves and find matches and work with those matches to try to determine which side of the family they're related on. We think that it's going to open up that entire avenue for the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in the United States who, you know, who have been adopted every year. We think that it's just a matter of months until we're starting to reunite adoptees with at least a biological family. I'm not saying a biological parent at this point. I'd like to you know, to start seeing some results and hearing some of the stories from our clients, but I have no real doubt that that's going to happen in the near future. And so we think that for adoptees, this test will become ubiquitous over the next year.
You know, that's pretty phenomenal. And you know, I asked that question because I'm the child of an adoptee who is a female, and I have a brother who's adopted. So, you know, it's very, very important, you know, for me and my research to be able to have some of these this kind of test available. I mean, even though the mtDNA test that you know, we've been part of that project now, I guess, for 10 years, still hasn't borne any direct fruit. Although we have some matches and we can't figure them out. So let's talk about other situations where this kind of testing would be a very important part of someone's genealogical research.
Well, I was in England last week at the Who Do You Think You Are genealogical conference, which, by the way, was probably the most exciting genealogical show that I've ever been to. They were turning people away on Saturday because the fire marshal said any more than 4,500 people in the conference center was overcrowding. And I can tell you that when I left our booth at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon to go get a pizza for those who were staffing our booth, I felt like I was walking through a very busy mall at Christmas time during a very good economy. It was just packed. It was hard to walk around. It was hard to, you know, just to get to the pizza place, let alone standing in the queue. And we had people coming up to us who, for example, one woman came and said that her great-grandfather had come from Poland to England, and his name was Stein, they thought, in Poland, and they had changed the name to Stone. And so because they had changed the name to Stone, which sounded more English, she was almost almost for sure that she had a Jewish ancestry, but she wasn't able to confirm it. They just presumed that because of the name and because of the place that this fellow had come from. Because of that, she wanted to know, can this test help her in that regard? And certainly, from any population, you're going to have matching haploblocks or chunks of the DNA, which is indicative of a particular population, and you're going to notice that by the matches that you get. And so when she ordered her Family Finder test, recognizing that we already have a large database of folks from Scotland and also Eastern European Jews who have tested with our test just in the phase one rollout, I'm quite confident that if she has a Jewish ancestry, that it will be very, very clear when she gets her, you know, when she gets her results back. And again, it's guilt by association, as I've always said in genetic genealogy. If she comes back and she only is matching people from Poland who don't have a Jewish ancestry, that'll also be very clear.
So this may give rise, what is that, the, what is it, the six, oh, it's going around all over, that we're, everybody's connected, you know.
Your classic 6 degrees of separation?
There you go.
Okay.
It was not coming to me, but I was close.
Well, what we're going to find is that you know, to a great extent, you'll match people out of the population that you come from. Because, you know, our world is very large today. We have 6.5 billion people in it, but that population has dramatically expanded just in the last 100 years, and even more so in the last 200 years. And effectively, what that means is that the population size that we came from when our families were living in probably Europe a couple hundred years ago was actually very small. And so we certainly have third and fourth and fifth cousins that we don't know about. Most people haven't done their family trees so extensively that you know all of your third or fourth or fifth cousins at this point. And so we expect that those people are going to be ordering tests randomly and just starting to pop up on other people's pages showing a connection. In fact, we did a test on a woman as part of our proof of concept a few months ago, and she's Portuguese on one side of her family, and on the other side of her family, she's Scottish. And sure enough, we didn't have any Portuguese folks in our database, so she didn't match anybody on what we believe was her father's side. But on her mother's side of the family, she was matching to people and only people from Scotland. And those were not close matches. Those were pretty distant matches, but it sure showed the populational group that she had come out of. And as more tests come in, she'll start to find, I'm sure, cousins that she didn't know she had on that mom's side that are relatively close, because she's pretty new to genetic genealogy, and therefore she hasn't done extensive work with us, and she hasn't done extensive paper trail work. So for her, I would imagine in the next few months she's going to start popping up with relatives, and of course she's aiding that effort by reaching out to cousins that she knows as she builds her genetic family tree.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, the initial rollout is for existing clients. Do they have to totally retest, or can you use their existing samples, or how does
That's a good question. At this point, we're taking the cautious or conservative route, and we are using a new swab for every person, primarily because this new process takes a very large amount of DNA in comparison to what we've traditionally used. So in the past, we could take one swab from someone, and we could test 3 times, 6 times, 10 different tests could be run on that one vial. Now with this new test, it takes probably 60 or 70% of the DNA that we're getting from a single vial. And so we're asking people to always remember to follow our testing instructions and scrape real good for about 45 seconds so that we get plenty of interior cheek cells so that we have plenty of DNA for the process. And as we get more comfortable with the process, I would imagine we'll start using DNA that we've already extracted here and run tests on to see how it works. But at this point, we're going to err on the side of doing a little bit more work and being a little bit more cautious to make sure that, you know, that we're able to have the highest percentage of success, because, you know, if we get a weak DNA scraping, we'll certainly get results, but we won't get results that meet the minimum threshold that we require, which is somewhere on the high side of 98% of all of the markers coming out, you know, on the test the first time we run it.
You know, it would seem to me, Bennett, and I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of women now testing who were not really able to test, you know, prior to this, but it would seem to me, just in listening to, you know, what you're saying, is that really, even though you have tested in the past and you're a male, that this is really something that everybody should probably do if they are truly interested in their genealogy and making those connections.
Susan, we feel that the Family Finder is going to create a paradigm shift in genetic genealogy. Whereas in the past, someone would come up to our booth at a trade show and we would work them through their genealogy, and they would ultimately say, that's the line I'm trying to search, but I don't have a male in that particular line. You know, my dad was the only male in his family, and he had, you know, a couple of daughters and didn't have any sons. And so I guess there's nothing I can do because my dad didn't have any brothers, and my grandfather, you know, may have had a brother, but we lost track of his son, or his son had a daughter or something like that. And so what that means is that because the gender requirement doesn't matter anymore in genetic genealogy by using the Family Finder, what this is going to do is this is going to open up the market to hundreds of thousands of armchair genealogists who have been scouring and looking and beating the bushes to try to find a male cousin in the past test. And now those women can simply test themselves, and they don't need to do all that work to convince or beg or cajole a cousin to test. If they do have a male cousin in the family, they'll be able to use the Family Finder test and see if they match up with other men in that surname project who have also taken the test. And if they do match up, then after they do a little bit of work and make sure that the chunks of DNA that they have in common indeed would have come from that male they're looking at, then they'll be able to graft themselves back onto the family tree in the same way that we're able to make a link between two men who have the same Y chromosome.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is really, Bennett, the Y-DNA testing of the past really, I mean, I'm sure you'll still offer it, but it would seem to me that the Family Finder test and this whole new process is really the way that everybody should go from here on out.
Well, we're thinking that what people are going to do is they're going to continue to get the Y-DNA test, but they're going to add to it the Family Finder, because the tests are actually positioned differently. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
The Family Finder test, as I said, is good for probably seven generations. In other words, fifth cousins. So your grandparents' kids are your first cousins, and so your fourth great-grandparents' descendants would be your fifth cousins. So that takes you back to that 175-year range. We have customers who have tested on the Y chromosome who could not have been related prior to 350 years ago. and it has successfully matched them up. So if you're looking at a direct mail line, if you're working with the English group known as Goons, the Guild of One Name Studies, all those folks are going to continue to look for the Y chromosome test. If they're looking for closer relatives, not necessarily people of the same last name, but people who descend from a man with a common surname, those people will also be able to benefit by taking the Family Finder test. And for anyone who wants to know their journey of man, in other words, the expansion that the family has taken since the family and since Homo sapiens left Africa about 60,000 years ago, those people are all going to need to either take a Y-DNA test on the male line or the mitochondria test on the female line. So in effect, in the past, there have been two new genetic tools for the prepared genealogist. That was to be able to take a Y-DNA test or the mitochondria. Now there's a third tool that we're offering to the genealogical community that will allow folks to look at not only the direct male line and the direct female line, but all those cousins in between back to 1775, 1800, something like that. So knowing what you want to accomplish is what's going to help you determine which of the various tests that you should take.
Well, that makes great sense. And I would suspect that similar to the other tests too, that you will, I think you mentioned this, will be able to define some ethnic backgrounds that you may not, you may think you have but may not know that you have.
Right. So that's a good point. As part of the test, because we're looking at hundreds of thousands of markers on your autosomes, we will within a few months be able to give you an ancestral background. So you'll be able to see how much of your DNA is typical in Europe and how much of it is, let's say, typical of Africa or from Asia. And I'm sure as time goes on, this will get broken out in such a way that you'll be able to see, let's say, your Middle Eastern quotient as separate from, from directly Europe. And I had kind of an interesting result when I started looking at the prototype of my results. It said that I was 57% European and 34% Middle Eastern, and given that I have a Semitic background, that's not particularly surprising, although the ratios or the proportions are something that I would have had no way to be able to estimate if I wasn't able to get the help of looking across my entire genome for the answer.
So, for example, if you are a child of a mixed marriage, for example, you would have an opportunity to see what the percentages are of those ethnic backgrounds?
But ethnic backgrounds as defined by continents. I want to make sure that someone doesn't get the idea that when we say ethnic background here, that we're talking about a particular tribe from Africa or a particular tribe from the Americas. It'll be more continental based at this point. I'm sure that as time goes on, that'll get refined. But at least think of all the adoptees who have no background or no knowledge as to what their background is, whatsoever. And they may be speculating because their skin is particularly light or because their hair color is particularly dark or because their eyes are very dark versus just brown, for example, that they're from this area or this area. This will give them another clue, and that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to provide clues for people to then go on to the next step by, in effect, helping people read their own personal history book, which has been heretofore locked within the DNA found in their cells.
So, for example, if I went and I get tested, which I need to do, obviously, since I have not been tested, I will for the first time, get a very good picture of, you know, my natural grandparents and my that particular line that I have no clue today who they are. I think I do, but I really don't.
Well, if you speculate that you might know who you're related to, if you were to test and if they were to test, we'll be able to show you whether you have shared DNA in common. And the only way you can have this shared DNA in common is if you, you know, share an ancestor in common. And so what you'd be able to gain would be that knowledge. In addition, you'll be able to get a rough idea of the of your overall genetic makeup, shall we say, as it would relate to Europe, I think soon the Middle East, and then also Africa or Asia. And so to the extent that it's going to give another picture to people who haven't even been able to draw back the curtains to look inside the window, it's going to be a wonderful addition to what an individual knows about themselves.
So question number two would be, is would it be necessary if my brother tested under the family finder for me to test under the family finder too?
You have the same mother and the same father.
Yes.
And so if you have the same mother and the same father, it would not be a necessity. You might find, now I will tell you this, you didn't get all of the DNA from your mom and from your dad that your brother got. In other words, some chunks of DNA that you got are going to be a little bit different than what your brother got from mom and dad. So he might show a stronger connection, a little bit stronger connection to people on your match list than you would, or vice versa. But in general, I would say no. I would say that if we did your brother, then he can certainly, in this case, be your surrogate. And when you start getting results, if you have a question that would require that we look at your DNA, that we can do that. If you remember, I'm the person who's always said I want my clients to spend the least amount of money to get the most information. And so so what I would do in this case is I would have your brother test, since he's already tested, and we probably have a spare vial for him sitting around, so we could test him and then see what the results look like. And only if there was, something that came up that we wanted to have another comparison between another sibling, would we even suggest that you take a test. So you may be able to escape this round, Susan.
I've been the escape artist for many years. I seem to be doing that quite well. So really, there really would be no real reason for me to test if my brother is already tested.
I don't think so. Again, this is all very new, and until I have the first probably 5,000 samples back, I don't think that all of our suppositions are going to be canonized. But at this point, I would say no. Probably the smartest thing for us to do would be to test your brother, toss him into the database, and see who he matches up with, and then we can make a decision at that point whether it would make sense to make that kind of an investment on you, or whether it would simply be a redundancy.
Well, I'm going to throw out a number, Bennett, and see if we have any people that are brave enough to call in. We've been having a few recently, and our toll-free number is 888-815-9756. If you have a particular question you might want to address with Bennett, this is the time to call in. So I'm going to throw that number out again, 888-815-9756, because my questions are particularly of interest to me, not to everybody else. I hope that some of them will benefit other people. Now, going back to how would this differ from a paternity test, for example? I have a client that I've had tested with you, and we just had a sibling who he thinks to be his father. It was the son of the brother of who he thinks is his father. And we haven't gotten the results back on that. But how would this family finder test benefit, a family that is, looking for or trying to prove that someone is their father?
Actually, I think that this will do as well as or better than a classic paternity test. It'll probably be years before papers get written and the courts start accepting it. But for example, let me just set up a scenario. Let's say you have a set of grandparents who had a son. The son ended up having a child out of wedlock. And so now those parents have a grandchild, and let's say in that case the son dies in an accident. So the grandparent might legitimately wonder, was this grandchild of mine born out of wedlock really my son's child? Well, it's easy to answer that if the child is a boy, because the Y chromosome would pass down from the grandfather to the father, and then to the grandson, and then we could do an exhaustive Y-DNA test on the grandson and the grandfather. And if they had identical Y chromosomes, the odds would be very, very good that the reason they have the same Y chromosome is that the grandson is really the grandson of the grandparents. However, if the child in that scenario happened to be a girl, there's no good way prior to Family Finder for that grandparental set to determine clearly and unambiguously if this is their grandchild. Paternity testing works great if you've got the child and the father present. And it's even easier if you have the mother and the father and the child present. But the confidence interval is about 99.9% if you've got the trio, or if you've got the father and the child, and in that case it doesn't matter whether the child is a girl or a boy. However, the confidence level drops off dramatically if you don't have the child, if you don't have the son. So if you're doing a comparison between a set of grandparents and their presumed grandchild, once the classic paternity test comes back, it only has about a 45% confidence level that it can express. By using the Family Finder, we can absolutely look at the genomes and predict that you have a child-grandparent relationship. And that's what it's going to come back on. The range of whom it could possibly be is also going to be extremely tight for a grandparent-grandchild relationship. And again, because sex doesn't matter anymore, it doesn't matter whether I test the grandmother and the grandson or the grandfather and the granddaughter, whereas in the past, we could not do that successfully. Now you can do it very, very easily with the Family Finder.
Great. Well, isn't that interesting? It sure has. Bennett, we're going to take a call. It's Carol from Colorado on line 2.
I was curious how long they keep hospital records. I would like to know if I could have my parents' hospital records, their blood tests or anything. How long do they keep them? My mother died, gosh, a long time ago, about 13 years ago, 14 years ago. So that couldn't happen.
Susan, did you want to answer this or do you want me to try?
You can try. I think, number one, Carol, the testing is not done on blood samples. It's done on cheek swabs. But you're the technical guy, Bennett. You go for it.
Well, generally speaking, hospitals aren't going to keep remains, or they're not going to keep blood on hand for any length of time unless there's a reason, unless the case was particularly interesting, or unless there was a reason for them to actually retain the material. Unfortunately, any material, as in flesh, that is put into a paraffin wax doesn't seem to do very well when we try to reverse that process and get the DNA to shake loose from that wax. On the other hand, if there happens to be whole blood that has been put in a tube that has a purple top on it, there's a preservative in the purple top tubes that allows that DNA in the blood to remain for years. We generally do not take blood as an original source of DNA, preferring the cheek swab. But if it's something that, if it's in a case where there is whole blood available, it's been preserved well at the hospital, then simply by emailing me and starting a dialogue, and I'm at bcg@familytreedna.com, we can, talk to you and certainly talk to the hospital about transporting some of that material down to our lab, for the purposes of extraction. Another thing that we've done, by the way, that has worked, although we don't advertise it because it's a very specialty service, but if someone has passed away, and there's a hearing aid that's available that hasn't been touched, by anyone else for years and years, there can be a lot of cellular material on the inside of that hearing aid, and we've also had success from electric shavers in extracting DNA. Although I will say that for the amount of DNA we need for the family finder, probably we're not going to be able to get enough DNA from either of those forensic extraction techniques to be able to run that test, but we can certainly run our classic Y-DNA test on a male or the mtDNA test on those kinds of remains.
And still,
what is the cost?
Costs are going to vary depending upon the test you're using. The Family Finder test will be probably priced out just under $300, and the cost of the Y-DNA test for a male or for the mitochondria from a male or a female is priced at about $150. And that includes not only the extraction, but the preservation of the DNA as long as we can possibly preserve it, because, of course, there might be other tests you might be interested in running on that same sample. And it also allows you what we call a personal page at our website, where we show you the names and the email addresses of the people that the sample that you have provided matches. And then every time you have a new match, you get a new email from us, and there's no charge for that ongoing service. It's all, in effect, wrapped up in the testing fees. So there's no subscription program is what I'm saying.
So really, only my siblings and I, we can do well with one. We had the same mother and father. We can do well with one getting tested.
Yes, I would say so. I would say so. And better to test a male because females don't have a Y chromosome, but males do. So if you had a brother who you could talk into this, if he was interested in looking at your father's 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 line, we could run the Y DNA test. If he was looking at the mother's mother's line, we could run the mitochondria test. And if you wanted to look at cousins, people who descend from any of your grandparents going back, great grandparents going back as far as your fifth or your fourth great grandfather to the fifth cousin level, then we could also run that same test on your brother, and everyone could in effect share in the results or the excitement, but only one person would need to test.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
and
Carol.
I'd like to know, you started your program, and I didn't know the name of your program very well, or your name and the lady's name, and what your schedule is, or your website, or I guess, you know.
Susan, take it away.
I can do that. My name is Susan King, and the name of the show is Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. And we've been on air now since April 20th of 2009. We have a website, www.susaneking.com. And our focus is on the journey and both spiritual of learning about your past and learning about your ancestors. And we alternate our shows between things within the spiritual realm as well as in the genealogical realm. And more and more and more the things are coming together, in my opinion, as one. It's a very spiritual journey to learn more about yourself and your past. And I've been doing genealogy now for some 30 years, I think it is. Bennett, it's scary when we start adding up these years.
we don't really like to add them up in public.
But I tell you what, it's exciting to see all the new advances in the field. And, you know, I think, you know, it's one wonderful hobby to get involved in, and something that can be shared with family and you know, family, you know, lineally, you know, with cousins and things like that. And it's amazing who you come in contact with in doing your own research and what you learn. And I think some of those concepts are being brought to life in the Who Do You Think You Are series. It's on NBC, started last week, and again, I think there are seven episodes, I think. So the second one airs this Friday night. So that's who we are, and thanks for calling.
Is that program part of your world? Who Do You Think You Are?
Who Do You Think You Are is produced by Lisa Kudrow and NBC Television. And Ancestry.com is one of the primary sponsors and has been very involved because they're one of the leading research companies that are available to the general public to help guide you in your research. I'm a professional genealogist. I do help people get started in their genealogy, and that's what I've been doing for many, many years.
Well, thank you. Do either of the two of you, have you written books? And what is Mr. Bennett's name, full name?
His name is Bennett Greenspan. He is the founder and president of Family Tree DNA. The website is www.familytreedna.com. And
neither of us, to the best of my knowledge, have written any books. I think it's because we're both so busy helping people genealogically that we probably don't have enough free time to organize all of our thoughts and put them down into a concise 200-page book. At least that's my excuse.
There you go. I am a columnist for The Examiner. You can find me there, and I think if you go to my website, my articles appear on the homepage. So I do write there, and about two or three articles a week. I took about a 4 or 5 month hiatus while I was too busy to write, but I'm trying to get back into doing that again. So if you go to my website, most of my articles show up there, and they link to the column on The Examiner. Maybe there'll be a book in there somewhere.
Is that the San Francisco Examiner, or what Examiner?
I'm a National Examiner, so it doesn't really matter where you live. Again, if you go to my website and click on one of the articles, all the articles will be there.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
I had a question, Bennett.
Okay.
You know, hair samples still are a no-go, right?
Hair samples are still a no-go. if you happen to have several bulbs from the hair, in other words, if you actually had your hand on someone's head and were pulling out some of the roots, the root of the hair does contain DNA, but not the shaft of the hair itself. That's not going to help us very much. And the problem with hair is that we wash it, we bleach it, we dye it. It gets fingered, and when that happens, DNA from the person who's touching the hair can come off onto the hair itself, and so it's highly likely that it's going to be contaminated, especially if the hair is old and it was recently touched.
You know, it's so interesting, and I mean, I don't know if other families did this, but I guess I'm going to throw it out because mine apparently did. But, you know, in some old lockets, family lockets, were hair samples of deceased people, I guess. And I guess my family had this habit of doing that. So I don't know why I have it, but I do. And, you know, maybe it's time I throw it out.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we test it at this point.
I am decluttering. I think maybe these hair samples that have been in my family for many years, including the ones that I kind of took to because I thought that was what women were supposed to do. Don't ask why, don't ask.
Well, Susan, if you've looked at my picture lately, you know I don't make a lot of these hair jokes, and I don't have a lot of hair to donate to the cause.
I don't know. It was just kind of a family thing, and I just kept, yeah, I thought that was what we were supposed to do. I think I'm going to declutter with the hair samples because they obviously aren't going to do us any bit of good, especially in DNA testing. I guess maybe that's what I was thinking, that maybe it would help.
Right. Well, believe me, if it would help, we would certainly be asking for it because we're always looking for new ways to break through those paper trail roadblocks that all of us encounter when we're actively pursuing genealogy.
Yeah. So are you telling me I should hang on to them just for a little longer?
You know what? They're there. I see no reason to throw them out.
Okay. You never know. I mean, you know, my mother's is there, and she's the one that is our mystery individual. I had another question. Going back, and I think that we were, hold on a minute. There was, I guess, I it left me. I have one of these, a show I want you to know about. One of these questions that leave me in the middle of the show. So let us move on. You mentioned that the price of the test you haven't finalized yet. That's why everything's kind of new. But it's going to run what in the what range?
Oh, my guess is that it's going to get priced right around $300, Susan.
Okay. And in essence, what that really is that you're really testing both sides of the family. So it's not
what we're testing is we're really testing and we're looking at the kaleidoscope of DNA that you receive from your 16 great-great-great-grandparents. And so it gives you an opportunity to match with shared cousins who are descended from any of those people. And that's what's unique and that's what's exciting about this. So, for example, a fourth cousin of mine just contacted me and she said, "Well, Bennett, I've ordered this new test, and this is going to confirm that we're fourth cousins." Now, I know we're fourth cousins on paper, but I have to go back to my dad's mother's father's father, who had a brother who had children of various genders, and she comes off of one of those female lines. And of course, I mentioned female when I just track my genealogy back, so I come back off a female line. And in the past, there would have been absolutely no way for us to show a link between the two of us. Now that whole window has opened up.
It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm so excited about it, Susan, because, you know, I've been the fellow who travels around the country, speaks perhaps 15 or 20 times a year. Generally, when I talk to genealogists, about 70% of the people in the crowd are female, and most of them are interested in genealogy that tracks back along a named or male line of the family. And so to a certain extent, I've kind of felt like the catcher in a javelin throw up on those stages. and that's not always a lot of fun. And now, in effect, what we've done is we have removed that barrier. You know, we're helping people get over the hurdle that you run into being a genetic genealogist. So I guess the first stage is that you're a genealogist and then you start employing genetic genealogy, but quickly our customers have run out of all that classical genetic genealogy can do. And so now for all those people who have been frozen out, now a new opportunity exists, and that's within the realm of using autosomal DNA and the product that we call Family Finder.
You know, it really is exciting. I can't tell you enough how excited I get about all these things. And you know, you were sharing with me some images, I think, when we had lunch about the ribbons of DNA and how, you know, they match up. And you know, it really is, you know, amazing and fascinating. And really fascinating too, what you've been able to do with in the field, I think, over the last 10 years. I remember when you were just starting, and you know what you've done and how far you've come, and you know, you really become the leader, I think, in the whole field of genetic genealogy. Is just mind-boggling, and you should be very proud of yourself.
Well, I'm certainly very pleased. I'm actually a little awed at how it's all gone. We think that we have about 85% of the genealogical market that's testing with us. So I think one of the reasons for that is that we were the first. We started the industry. We have the largest comparative database, and anyone that thinks that a large comparative database doesn't matter is unfortunately mistaken, because since it's guilt by association, you know, we need a real solid database that people can compare against. And things have really gone very well since I had come to you kind of sheepishly about 10 years ago saying, "Susan, I have this idea. What do you think?" Fortunately for me, you understood it immediately, and so I didn't have a lot of sales work to do. I mean, you just got it, and that was great. And it's taken many years for the general genealogical community to embrace it. But the good news is that by now it's embraced by amateur and professional genealogists across the entire Western world, meaning the United States and North America, in that respect, South America and also all of Europe. And so there's a lot of markets that we haven't been able to get into yet, but we're working on those. And you know, we just see the database growing and the company continuing to move forward successfully and profitably into this new decade.
Well, you know, hats off. I think that what you've done in this field is just it really is phenomenal. And this new testing procedure and how it opens up you know, DNA to many, many, many people who have not really been able to access it. I can probably rattle off a number of clients that you know, have no males to test with, but they need DNA testing because that is really the paper trail doesn't exist. I mean, it's just paper trail just isn't there. And this is going to be very exciting. So if you are a current client and have tested with Family Tree DNA, what is the procedure to get involved in?
All someone has to do, Susan, if they're an existing Family Tree DNA client, any of the over 250,000 people that we've tested so far, All they have to do is log into their personal page, and they can enter their email address, and as soon as the product goes out of the limited phase one launch, they'll receive an email from us telling them that they can order the product. And then probably a week or 2 weeks after that, depending upon the flood, we'll open the product up for general sales release, and it'll be available right from going to the main page of the website, which is www.familytreedna.com. And any questions that people have, they can simply email me at bcg@familytreedna.com, and I or one of the several customer service reps that we have here at the company will be happy to answer any questions.
Well, I can wish you only the best of luck, Bennett.
Thank you.
And you'll be hearing from me. We need to get tested, and we need to kind of see if this might open up some of those brick walls that we've been facing on my mother's side for 3 decades or more.
Very good. Well, we'd love to help.
I know you will, and I know you need to run, and you've got some people you need to meet with, so I'm going to let you go. This is Susan King, where Genealogy and Spirit connect. Next week, we're going to be talking about astrology and how you can merge that into genealogy. We've had some interesting conversations on that. We'll see you next Tuesday, and have a great week.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week, we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susaneking.com.